I have our scriptures for today, coming from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18, marked by my bookmark that I read to you earlier. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandments, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders, he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of God settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
There's some things just worth the work to see. It's true. Some things just worth the work to see. Who here has been out and seen the mountains next to Denver, Colorado? Anybody? Yeah, wow, a lot. I'll never forget being on a bus for 24 hours and then driving up towards Denver and seeing those mountains as a backdrop. Right, it dwarfs Denver. Right, these huge mountains are majestic. They're incredible. Right, it's just worth seeing them. And when I went out there, what had happened was I had volunteered as a youth leader at a local church out in Lima. I was at Ohio Northern at the time. And they said, "Look, if you come out and volunteer here, we will pay for you to go snowboarding out in Colorado." I'm like, deal. I was going to help anyways. Right? Then I tore my MCL right before the trip. And I thought, well, shoot, you know what? I'm going anyways. Brace, crutches, and all, I'm going out there. So I went out. I saw the mountains. Everybody was skiing and snowboarding. I was in the lobby down at the bottom of the hill. And I'm like, man, I just want to get up there. And then I found out you could buy a ticket on a snowcat, and a snowcat would actually drive you up the mountain to a restaurant on the side of the mountain. I thought, man, that's worth it. So I paid the fare, right? I get on this thing. I load up my crutches. Everybody else loads up their skis and their snowboards. The ride was fun all the way up to the restaurant. I get off up there, and I'm looking at this beautiful view. The snowcat takes off, right? And I swear to you, that was the first time where I thought to myself, how am I going to get off the mountain? Right? Because as logic would have it, if you want skiers to come to your restaurant, you put the ski lift up there and have them ski down, right? So I look at the snowcat, take it off, and I'm like, oh, shoot. What? And I look up that lift, and I had to be back. I had to be back down at the lobby at a particular time. The snowcat wasn't coming back for hours. Guess what I had to do? Here we go. I crutched up the hill to the snow lift. I tell you, the guy operating that lift looked at me like, did you get lost? Like, where the heck did you come from? Sweating bullets, right? Got on the lift, went back down, right? There's some things, though, they're just worth the view. Climbing to the top of that mountain, I do it over again just to see something that amazing. And I believe that every single person here has a mountain that God is calling them to climb. And the reason that He's calling you to climb that mountain is so that you can see something amazing at its peak. It's amazing to me how often mountains are referenced in the Bible, repeatedly, over and over again, each author taking note of where particular things are happening. Solomon built a temple on the top of a mountain. Moses meets God on the top of a mountain. Elijah escapes persecution and threat of his life to go talk to God on the top of a mountain. Jesus taught his disciples on the top of a mountain often. He was transfigured on the top of a mountain. And guess who showed up on the top of that mountain? Moses and Elijah. Isn't that interesting? Both people who went to the top of a mountain to be with God. There's a city that David built on the top of a mountain, and these are just a handful of them. If the role of mountains is that prevalent in Scripture, there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason. And it has to be relevant to our lives in some way. Our passage today deals with a mountain, but it's a small window to a much larger story. The end of this story essentially happens in chapter 32, 8 chapters later. At this point, Moses is no spring chicken. Not at all. And despite that, because it's right before they go into the promised land, God says, "Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and commandments that I have written so that you may teach my people." Now here's where reading the Bible with 10-year-old eyes gets to be kind of fun, right? Because if I'm Moses and I've spoken with God often in a tent covered by a cloud, and I look around and I see a bunch of stones with me down at the bottom of the mountain, I think to myself, well, Lord, we have a bunch of stones right here. We're talking right now. We got everything we need. Do you really need me to climb to the top of a mountain that historians say is 7,500 vertical feet tall? 7,500 vertical feet. Moses doesn't do that, though. Instead, he starts his climb up a dangerous, potentially deadly mountain that was clearly difficult. And he did it because God called. But before he goes, he does this. This trip up the mountain was actually after the trip for the Ten Commandments. So right before he goes up, he reads the Ten Commandments to his people and says, you know what, Aaron is in charge. I'll be back. So he reminds them of God's law, takes off up the mountain. Interestingly, the top of the mountain is veiled by clouds. At the same time, the scripture says that the people at the base of the mountain saw the glory of the Lord, which means that there is so much intensity in the glory of the Lord on the top of the mountain that despite the clouds, they were able to see the glory of the Lord. This devouring fire, as they call it, much like the tongues of fire on Pentecost. Moses goes up there, spend 7 days, and then God calls him into the cloud. And the scripture says that he spent 40 days and 40 nights, which just means a long time, up on the mountain. 8 chapters later, Moses comes back down off of the mountain, and when he does, he finds his people in total chaos. Total chaos. They are worshiping a golden calf that Aaron had, quote, fashioned with an engraving tool. And they were proclaiming that this golden calf led them out of Egypt. They were dancing and singing, celebrating. Could you imagine Moses? He had to look at them and say, look, you can see God's glory from a distance. You know it wasn't this calf. But apparently that wasn't enough. He comes back and finds them worshiping another god, essentially. Moses confronts Aaron, and this is just incredible. Aaron responds, "Do not let your anger burn hot, my Lord. You know these people, that they tend towards evil. And they said to me, 'Make us gods that will go before us.' So I said to them, 'Whoever has gold, break it off.'" And listen to this. So they gave it to me, I threw it into the fire, and this calf came out. Could you imagine Moses at that moment? Like, so you took this gold, you threw it in the fire. Did the calf walk out like this? Or did it prance out like calves are known to do? I mean, it was a total lie. A total lie. And all of this happens right after Moses tells him what before he leaves. You shall not have any gods before me. Do not create for yourself a carved image or an idol, and you shall not bear false witness. Do you know what I think this kind of behavior represents? I believe it represents what it's like to try to be God's people, but only seeing God through a thin or through a thick veil. Seeing God from a distance and not drawing close to seeing to see him clearly. It's seeing God from the bottom of the mountain instead of the top. You get the sense of the glory, but you don't truly see. I understand that this is symbolism, but I believe that it holds true. I believe that each one of us is called to the top of a mountain. Your own personal mountain. Every single one of us. You have to do the hard work of setting your sights high and of climbing and staying where God needs you for as long as he does before you can step behind the veil and see God more clearly. It is your job to make it to the top of the mountain for the sake of everyone around you. It is your job to make it to the top of the mountain for the sake of everyone around you. Because if we don't climb that mountain and then come back and share with everybody else what we saw, I believe that chaos will ensue. That's how important I believe you are to the kingdom of God. This isn't in my sermon. I'm just going to throw it out there. There are times I'll go through Facebook and I'll see posts from people, and those posts are from people who have generally been to the top of the mountain and back again, where they talk about what it's like to fight through cancer, what it's like to fight up that hill, what it's like to go through hard times. And when they come back from those hard times, when they come back from those challenges, what do? They show you a little piece of God you've never seen before. There are those who have spent their time studying the Word diligently, and it's a fight. It's a fight. They climb that mountain because they're called to climb that mountain. What do? They come back with the truth that they have found, and they share it with everyone else around them. It feels like God called Moses to the top of the mountain with the same kind of heart, a combined heart, I guess, of Lakeland and Ainslie, right? A care for God's people. And a determination that says, I don't care how old I am, if God's called me to the top of the mountain, I'm going. I'm climbing. If God is calling you to be a better spouse, climb that mountain. Because everybody else is counting on you to climb that mountain. If God is calling you to become a disciple, climb that mountain. Get a better glimpse of God because everybody else is counting on you to climb that mountain. God is calling you to serve, to strengthen your mind, discipline your body, to become a spiritual force to be reckoned with. Climb that mountain. Do the hard work. See what God wants to show you and come back and share it with the rest of us because everyone is counting on you. Everyone is counting on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this story, where you called Moses a man with great faith, but a man who is aging to the top of a mountain. You spoke to him time and time again at the base of the mountain. But there's something about that sacrifice, something about that trip where you were able to show him more of you and your glory. Allow him to get closer to you. Lord, you are calling all of us to that same kind of place in our own lives. Help us to answer that call and to bring order and love and life more abundantly to all those around us because of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.